right, I invite you this morning to take your Bible, your smart pad, your smartphone, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Later on, we'll look at Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. As we hear the news about hurricanes and tornadoes doing their devastation in our nation and other places, it looks like everything's coming unglued. We think about the damage done in Puerto Rico, Texas, Florida, South Georgia, and some of the smaller islands, and we think this nation is being shaken and turned totally to pieces. When you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, we're giving a little preview of what's going on. Hebrews 12, 26, at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. I want to talk to you today about things that are unshakable. I did a little research about some earthquakes that have taken place in the last several years, and I found that in 2016 in central Italy, the magnitude of the earthquake was 6.2. 297 people were killed and thousands were sheltered in emergency camps. Ludian County, China, 2014, magnitude 6.2. 729 people were killed, 60,000 homes destroyed, over 229,000 people displaced. 2013 in Pakistan, magnitude 7.7. Human death toll 825. 100,000 people displaced from their homes, 2,100 homes totally destroyed. 2012, the Philippines, magnitude 6.7 earthquake. 113 were killed, 22,657 people displaced, 2,650 homes were destroyed. And all of you remember 2011, the earthquake and the tsunami that struck Japan. 30 feet waves damaged Japan's nuclear reactors. Due to the tsunami out in the ocean, it was caused by the earthquake that came on land, 20,896 people were killed. 185,000 people were displaced. And you ask, what in the world is going on? Well, in 2007, there were 14,350 earthquakes worldwide. In 2015, there were 14,795 earthquakes. Last year, there were 12,421 earthquakes. What does all this mean? The Word of God says that as we move toward the end of time, earthquakes become more frequent. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, look at the Word of God. Matthew 24:7, Jesus said, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." That describes exactly what's going on in our world today. And the thing that always follows earthquakes, regardless of where they hit around the world, would be famine and disease. Jesus describes earthquakes, and he uses an analogy there. He talks about the beginning of sorrows, and the word for sorrows is the word for travail, which describes the pain that a woman experiences in the delivery of a child. When it's almost time for the baby to be born, the pains for the mother may be very slight, but they get sharper and they get closer and closer together. Jesus used that terminology and said that earthquakes are the birth pains of Mother Earth. And we're seeing those pains getting closer and closer together. And they're the signs of the soon coming Jesus. I want you to know that God has always used earthquakes for significant events. You'll notice that when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, there was an earthquake that came. We find that when Jesus was on the cross, there was a mighty earthquake. That's caused by God. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was a mighty earthquake. At Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, there was also another earthquake. So Hebrews 12 tells us that there's some things that cannot be shaken. No matter how dark the day, no matter how this world shakes, there's some things that we can hold on to, five things that can never be shaken, regardless of what's happening to you personally or what's happening here in our nation and around the world. And I want to write these down. They're very, very simple. Number one, write this down. God's throne is unshakable. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, here's what we find. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. John saw a throne that was set, meaning it was eternal and unmovable. God's throne symbolized power, authority, and leadership. The things built by mankind on this earth will be shaken, but God's throne can never be shaken. Things that we men and women build are going to be destroyed. Cities, governments, businesses will be strong for a while, but time will prove that nothing built by man is going to last forever. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Remember one time that Satan decided that he wanted to occupy the throne of God. He decided, as you remember, his name was Lucifer. He decided that time that he wanted to be superior to God and that he no longer wanted to be the light bearer of God. So he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above his. And you remember, he was banished into the upper atmosphere of the earth. And I want you to know, people through unbelief, through open attacks, through scoffing, infidelity, they have tried to shake our belief in the throne of God. Listen, God is unshakable. He is in control of this universe. Second thing I want you to write down, very simple. God's word is unshakable. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I want you to think about this. Jesus stood in the temple a little over 2,000 years ago, and he taught the word of God. Today, that temple is gone. It is in ruins. Paul walked into Athens and beheld the great buildings of the Acropolis. He walked up the Appian Way to Rome and saw the Forum, the great Colosseum. And I want you to know, those buildings lie in ruins. Skeptics, critics, liberal theologians, atheists have all come and gone. Great structures are in ruins, but the Word of God lives on. In the 17th century, there was an atheist named Voltaire. He made this prediction. Here's what he said. He was standing in a certain building, and he said, in 100 years, and I think this is the 17th century, in 100 years, the Bible will cease to exist. Here we are. He said 100 years this was expired. We're in the 21st century, and Voltaire is in the pits of hell, and the building where he made that statement in the 17th century, still stands today, and there's a printing press housed in that building that produces Bibles for people to read. In centuries gone by, people have burned the scriptures. They have locked the scriptures down to pulpits so that the average person out here could not open and read the Word of God for themselves. We see that all kinds of things have been done, but I want you to know the Bible continues to stand. Third thing's unshakable. The Son of God is unshakable. Jesus Christ, the only eternal, only begotten Son of God, the only true God, cannot be shaken. Now, why can we say this? Write this down. Number one, if you want to see if he can be shaken, first of all, examine his character. We're going to have to go through this quickly. 1 John 5:3 says this, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin." The writer of Hebrews said that he was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. Call him for an examination today. Just look very carefully at his life, everything he did, or everything he said. You'll find no imperfection in him. What did those who knew him, what did they say about him? Remember Judas, when he betrayed Jesus Christ, he said, "I betrayed the innocent blood." The centurion there at the cross looked at Jesus after he died and he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." The demons cried out, "We know who you are, the Son of the Most High." John the Baptist was the forerunner to the king. And here's what he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Paul over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 through 11, one of the greatest word pictures of Jesus in your New Testament, said this, "God hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Check out his character, but I want you to check out his nature. Colossians 1:15-17 says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Jesus created all things. They're in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I turn to John 1:1-3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Not anything was made without the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Look at John 1:14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Check him out with his power. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places?" Think about this. Jesus is the only founder of a religion that is risen. He's alive. You go to the grave of Muhammad, and here's what ought to be on the tombstone. "This tomb is occupied." You go to the tomb of Buddha, and what you ought to see is a sign that says, "This tomb is occupied." The ladies rushed to the tomb of Jesus on that Sunday. And the angel said, "What are you doing looking around here? He is not here, for he is risen." We worship a Savior, the Savior of the world, who is alive. Listen, he had power over demons, principalities, powers. They're all subject to him. He had power over disease. He could tell the lame man to walk, the blind man that he could see. The person with leprosy was made clean. Over and over again, we see that he has power. His power can't be shaken. And then I want you to see the blood. His blood justifies. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. When Jesus died on the cross, he died as our substitute. Listen to this. He shed his blood and made it possible for God to treat us like we have never, ever sinned. It's hard to even put our mind around that concept. That's because of the blood. Notice something else about his blood here. His blood cleanses. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I used to love that old hymn. What can wash away what? My sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, when we're seen by God the Father, God does not see our sins. What he sees is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood redeems. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says that we're redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Notice his blood forgives. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Have you thought about this? When you get saved, every sin, past, present, and future, is under the unshakable blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood brings us close to God. Ephesians 2:13, listen to this. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Once we were far away from God, no way we could fellowship with him. We were alienating from him. But now through the blood, we're given a personal relationship with the Father. The blood overcomes the devil. Revelation 12:10 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their own lives even unto death. You know what that means? When Satan tries to accuse you of sin and treason against the Lord Jesus Christ before God, we see the blood is what overcomes and helps us to be seen as righteous and imputed righteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that his blood brings peace. Colossians 1:20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Because of sin, we were enemies of God. Listen to this. Because of the blood shed on the cross, when we trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, we're adopted into the family of God. Who do you call the Heavenly Father? Heavenly Father? Father? Dad? We're adopted into the literal family of God because of the blood. Then I want you to know the church is unshakable. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God's church is made up of precious stones, the people of God. It's not a temple made with hands. It can't be shaken. For the first 3 centuries after Christ, the Roman Empire tried to stamp out the church. Here's what they would do. They would go where there were meeting houses with saints just like you. And they just randomly pick out Christians and carry them into their coliseums and their arenas. And they would throw those Christians in cages with lions and other beasts. And their bodies would be ripped to shreds. And they would be devoured while thousands of unsaved people would cheer the torture of Christian people. They would go into an assembly just like we're in today, and they would snatch up dedicated Christians and take them to coliseums, and they would bring heavily armed gladiators to torture them to death in front of thousands of people. The Romans were trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful what we say about our church. I have a fear that football games, and I love football, is so much important than corporate worship with Christ. Have you noticed if you go to a football game, you want to show up 2 hours early to tailgate? A little barbecue, a little fried chicken, a little something you can't even identify one of your friends brought. You're using up your solo cups and all the plasticware. Then finally it's time to go into the stadium. You sit down. The game goes back and forth with the lead, and it takes 3 hours. And you hadn't looked at your watch yet. Then the referees call the captains to the middle of the field and say, "We cannot end this game in a tie." And they have a coin toss to see who's going to get the ball first in the tiebreaker. You haven't looked at your watch yet. You're going to stay until the game has a winner. One of the World Series games was the longest World Series game in the history of the World Series. 9 innings took 4.5 hours. And some of you stayed up late. And you went to work sleepy. But you didn't even bother to watch the clock. We want to be at our games. We want to be present. But let me ask you this. Is it that important to gather when we're open for worship at this church? Let me ask you something. If you're supposed to be here worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, is watching your smartphone, your iPad for the time, or your watch, is that what you're supposed to be doing? Listen, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You need to be involved in ministry, praying with other believers, encouraging other believers. But the number one thing we're supposed to do is come together to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You might as well get ready if you're saved. We're going to do that in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever when time is no more. The last thing I want to share with you is the kingdom is unshakable. Hebrews 12:28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us offer up to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. You know, Pharaoh built a kingdom and it was destroyed. David built a kingdom and it fell. Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon built their kingdoms and they fell. But God is building a kingdom that shall never, ever be shaken. Now, the kingdom is unique because it's spiritual in nature. It's vast. It's comprised of untold millions of saints who've already been called home to be with the Lord, with angels, seraphim, cherubim. It's all-encompassing, including those in heaven and on earth, the redeemed of all the ages. And when Jesus was born, the angel said, "His name shall be called Jesus, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Before you made it to kindergarten or first grade, your parents set you down with a book. This is deep and theological here. It was called The Three Little Pigs. Mama Pig thought it was time for the three little pigs to build a house and live on their own. Now, some of you here today are 24 and younger, and you say to about down to about 20, and your parents have got the same idea about you. And if you're 20 to 40 years old, they really want you to consider the meaning of this narrative. It's time you go build a house on your own. Now help me out here, all of you who went over here to Booger Holler Academy in East and West Rome High School. You help me out. Three little pigs went out and they built houses out of what? Straw, sticks, and bricks. And the wolf came along as they were in their nice little houses. And he knocked on the first door, the house made out of straw. And he issued a threat. And the little pig said he wasn't going to let him in by the hair of his what? Chinny chin chin. We got it now. And so what happened? The wolf, he huffed, he puffed. And what happened? He blew the house down. Y'all are with me now. Then the wolf down to the house made out of sticks. Issued the same warning. The pig said, I'm not letting you in here by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And he huffed and he puffed and what? Blew the house down. Now what do those two pigs need to do? They need to hightail it over to the brick house, don't they? They get over there with the other pig and all of a sudden knock on the door. Wolf says, I'm coming in. No, you're not, by the hair on my chinny chin chin. He blew, he huffed, he puffed. I think he passed out. He was really intense about all this. And you remember what else he did? He decided, can't knock this thing down. I'll go down the chimney. What happened when he went down the chimney? Got into a pot of boiling water. He had no trouble getting out of that chimney. It was like two NASA rocket engines getting him out of that chimney. And so when he did that, you know those little pigs now, they're what? They're just feeling what? They're just feeling all kinds of security now. You know, you could see the strength he put in trying to blow down these houses. But the pages of that nursery rhyme pictures the wolf showing him tiring out, and that old brick house is still standing. Listen to me. Spiritually, if you're attached to a straw life, when stuff starts happening to you, around you, to you and to your family, you're going to crumble. If you're attached to sticks and stuff starts happening all around you and to you, I want you to know that you're going to fall apart. But if you're part of a brick, unshakable kingdom that God has built by Almighty God, I don't care what's falling apart around you and upon you, you won't fall apart with it. If you're falling apart, you're not fully attached to the unshakable kingdom. I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about the present. Worried about Congress. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about this, that, and the other. Listen, worry is a sin. That hinders your prayers being answered. And it's like looking into the eyes of God and holding His book, the Bible, that's full of promises, and saying, God, you're a liar, and I don't trust you. Not with our economy, our political system, my children, my marriage. I don't trust you with anything. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things that are unshakable. God's throne. God's word. God's son. God's church. And God's kingdom. Make sure you're rooted and grounded in those who and that which shall not be moved. If you'd bow together. Heavenly Father,